didn't record that. I will do a recording of it when I get home, but I didn't record that. So that handles those two. And if you haven't done the homework, it will help, I think, doing the homework. Okay. The next thing I want to look at is I want to go to the programs and I want to look at an array. So we're going to look at department array. And this is what popped up. I've got check department, and I said division 3 has 4 departments. Please enter the department number. I put a 2 there as the default because 2 is my code for the CI departments, and I decided that the majority of students in my classes would be taking CI, so I'd make that the default. So notice the 2 is there, and then when I say okay, it comes back and says the department is CI. Okay. So what I've got here is known as an array. And you will see an array in all programming languages. There is a setup to allow you to do an array. This one, let's go up just a little. Okay, so we missed the duct tape at the top, but that's all right. So what I've done is I've set up an array. And I said the array is going to be department array. And I'm setting it up as a new array. And I said the biggest one will have a 4 after it. Okay. So I've got 4 departments. Department 0 is no department 0. Department 1 is BU, 2 is CI, 3 is CU, and 4 is OF. Now, what, just one second, and then I will. Now, what an array is I am grouping these all together and saying, here is my array. Okay, so I'm grouping them all together and saying, I'm putting up an array with 5 things in it, because one of them says no department 0. And I am giving all of these the same name. I am calling it department array. So all of these are being called department array. Now you know enough to know at this point that you can't give 2 variables the same name. And what I'm doing here is I'm giving 5 variables the same name. So that's not going to work. But it will work if I put in something that makes them unique. And the thing that I'm putting in that makes them unique is an index. So I'm saying department array modified by the index 0 will be no department 0. Modified by the index 1 will be BU. Modified by the index 2, and there it is. Square braces around the index is CI. Then I have CU, and then I have OF. Okay, so I have an index that tells me, okay, there are 5 things with the name department array, but the one I'm looking at is the one with an index of 2. And so it knows that that is CI. Or the one with an index of 4, which it knows is OF. So the index makes them unique. The names are the same, but the index makes them unique. Yeah?
I was just wondering if you had to put the array in the head.
No.
You don't have to?
I'd even forgotten that I didn't know. The array can be in the body.
Okay. Does it matter or
no,
does it change
anything?
No,
not really.
Okay.
Some people like to put it up in the head just to get it out of the way. Other people want their code down in the body, so they prefer to have it in the body. If I put it in the body, I usually put it at the bottom of the body, kind of out of the way.
Yeah.
at the very top.
What is the difference between head and body? Because I always confuse head with title.
Head is basically not where you put instructions. But this isn't an instruction. This is something to reference. And so that can go in the head. But in the head, you don't put the things that say document right or if or something like that. And in HTML, you don't put, I'm in the way of your picture. In HTML, you don't put the things you want to display. You put those down in the body. Now, can you get away with it? Yeah, people do. But that's not what you're supposed to do.
Okay.
And that's one of the getaway whiz that I really don't think is a good idea. Note that the // gives me a comment. Okay, so I said here I have an array that starts with 0 and ends with 4. And let me... So the number when I define the array is 4 events, even though there are 5. There are 5 things there, but there is only goes up to the number 4. Okay, it only goes up to the number 4 because the first one is 0. Okay? So it goes 0, 1, 2, 3, 4. So I then put in, if I go down to my script in the body, I put in a department number prompt. And so somebody had to enter the prompt. And I gave it a default value of 2. Usually I put a 0 there. But this time I decided the majority of people taking my courses are CI majors. So I'm going to put a 2 there so that that's the default. People don't have to then enter the 2. They can just move on. Okay? So I said, prompt, please enter the department number. And if you're happy with the 2, you don't have to change it. You can just hit the enter. Okay, so now I'm checking. And I said, if department number is less than 5, okay, that means it's a valid number, 0, 1, 2, 3, 4. So if department number is less than 5, then I'm going to write out the department is concatenated with, go to the array, take the department number with you, and so if it's a 2, I go to the array and I get department array modified by 2, and that gets me CI. If it's 4, I put in 2. Okay, when I did this one, when I demonstrated it, I left the 2 there. Right. 4 is the number of the bottom one. Okay? There are 5 things in the array because I start with 0. The computer world with indexes usually starts with 0 and totally manages to confuse everybody because the first element has a 0, the second element in the table has a 1, and so forth. And so it's designed to confuse. I'm quite convinced. So I put in a 2, and it went and said department array with an index of 2 is CI. So I displayed the department is CI. If I put in a number greater than 5, I said take the else, and I put out document right invalid department number. Now, if I thought there was the possibility of somebody entering in a negative number, that if should test for a negative number as well. But my feeling was that a department number, people aren't going to put in a negative number, so I just tested for... If it is less than 5, it's okay. Otherwise, it's an error. Okay. The index can also be called a subscript. And sometimes you'll even hear it called a pointer. Index is the main word for it and probably the most widely used. but somebody will say the pointer, which points to the right one, or the subscript. Okay, those are words that you can use. So I'm going in here and I'm saying if department number is less than 5, then I'm saying the department is, go to the array, find the one that the department number is pointing to, and show it. Okay? Questions? Yeah.
So you have two separate script parts in your program. Is there a purpose for that, or just...
Usually I do the definition, and as he pointed out, I did it this time in the head. It could have been in the body. It can be either place. I guess I think of this as can happen multiple times, so I put it kind of as part of what I wanted to show. This is just a reference, so I put it out that way. I could have put it in the head, I could have put it in the body, and it's allowed either place, yeah.
If you left everything the same as you have now, but took out the closed script in the middle, could that still work?
No.
So you'd have to close it, then yeah. Close the head.
You have to close the script. Or I can take this entire script and move it down to the body.
Okay, but once you close off the head, it technically... is adding another script anyway, so you would need two.
So I need two, right. Yeah. If I don't close script, and I don't close style is another one, that lots of times you get the screen of death if you don't close style and if you don't close script. You get a real, it does a real panic attack. So you really need to close the script. Okay? If I was putting this inside there, then I wouldn't have to. But I tend to think of this as a reference thing, so I tend to not put it in with the processing, which is not to say you can't, it's just that I tend to think of it that way. So if I wanted to put it in the body, I would take this and put it after, right here, right before the close of the body. So that I have it for reference, or I would put it the first thing in the body. A lot of people do it that way. They put it the first thing in the body. Okay. So that is a department array. Okay. We will look at arrays more. The second language we're going to look at is Visual Basic. And we will look at arrays more when we get to Visual Basic and kind of compare the ways that it can be used in Visual Basic as well. Okay. Now, as I said, I haven't made this mistake in a long time, but I did. There is something that I meant to put up for you to reference today, and I forgot it. I just went to bed early last night and just didn't bother with any of this. Okay, so I know how to find it, though. If you go in to my home page and you click Previous Semesters, and you click Fall 2017, which is this last fall for CIS 120, and you scroll down to, let's see, I will find it. It's in week 9, Numbering Systems and Code. Okay? So what I want to have up here, if you don't want to do it, you can just change the address and put an F17 after the 120, and that will get you there as well. So you can just put an F17 after the 120, which stands for Fall 17. And if you scroll down, Numbering Systems and Code is under week 9, and there it is. And I... definitely meant to put that up last night and definitely did. Okay, so we'll go and find it there. And tonight, hopefully, with a little bit of luck, I'll remember to put it up so it will be on your page. Okay. So basically, we're wrapping up JavaScript today. We wrapped up JavaScript today. And next week is going to be open labs both Tuesday and Thursday to get caught up. Which doesn't mean I won't give you a homework assignment on what we're doing today and Thursday, but it's going to be kind of a catch-up week. Lindsay will be here from 9:30 to 3 on Tuesday and Thursday. And so you can come and go as you want and get caught up. Okay, so she'll be here all day Tuesday and Thursday. I won't be here, which is why we're doing this. Okay? I told you at the first beginning of the semester there was a reason this was a hybrid course was that I was going to take a week at some point in April, and that's the week that I'm going to take. So, for family. And so what we're going to do is have Lindsay do an open lab, and I usually intersperse open labs in the semester periodically anyway. So you're going to have open labs to get caught up. So everybody should be caught up at the end of next week, right? Right. Okay. So Lindsay will be here again from 9:30 to 3. Okay, so we're finishing JavaScript. We're going to start Visual Basic after next week. But I always put in between a little respite from doing programming. And so we're looking at numbering systems. This course is basically all of the things that the department felt people should have to get started. And so this is, we're going to look at binary and hexadecimal. Okay? Code in the computer is stored in binary. Okay? So, to start out with, if we review decimal, the number 5724 in decimal, 5,724. The positional value determines the value of each digit. So the first digit is 10 to the 0, which is defined in 1. That's its positional value. The next one is 10 to the 1st, which is 10. Hundredths is 10 squared, which is 100. And the next one is 10 cubed, which is 1,000. So if I really want to know what 5,724 is, I multiply the 5 by 1,000, the 7 by 100, the 2 by 20, and the 4 by 1. I add them up, and lo and behold, I have 5,724. But we tend to forget that that's really the way it works. Okay. The computer stores everything in binary. And binary is like on-off. Okay, that's what binary really is. It's like on-off. If it's a 1, it's on. If it's a 0, it's off. And we'll look at computer codes on Thursday. So if I have a binary number that goes 1011011, and I would like to know what it is in decimal. I want to know what that is in decimal. Then what I do is I take the face value times the positional value. Binary is base 2. And base 2 means there are two digits, 0 and 1. Decimal is base 10, which means there are 10 digits, 0 through 9. Okay, 0, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. That's 10 digits. So, if I want to know what this is, I start out and say, there's the number. The positionals are 2 to the 0, which is defined as 1. 2 to the 1st, which is 2. 2 squared, which is 4. 2 cubed, which is 8. And so forth, going up. If I want to find the value of that number in decimal, I say 1 times 2 to the 6 equals 1 times 64, so it's 64. 0 times 2 to the 5th is 0 times 32, which is 0. The next one is 1 times 2 to the 4th, which is 1 times 16, which is 16. And then 1 times 2 to the 3rd is 1 times 8, and so forth, going across. Okay, and that allows me to find out what the decimal is. Okay, so if I go in, and I have 10111, and the little 2 down there tells me that it's binary or base 2. Okay. So 1 to the 0 is 2 to the 0 is 1. 2 to the 1st is 2. 2 squared is 4. 2 cubed is 8. And 2 to the 4th is 16. So to figure this out, I say the 16 is turned on. Okay? Because it's got a 1. So it's turned on. So I'll take the 16. The next position with the 8 is turned off because it has a 0. So I'm not using that. The next one is 4, and 4 is turned on. 2 is turned on, and 1 is turned on. So this adds up to 23 in decimal. Okay, so that's 23 in decimal. What is 11100? Four, eight, and 16, yeah. Okay, whoever said that. Okay, so the 4 is turned on, the 8 is turned on, the 16 is turned on, the 2 and the 1 are not. Okay, so I'm adding 16 plus 8 plus 4, which is 28 in decimal. Okay. Yeah.
What is the point of figuring out the positional value?
To give you the weight. Okay, just like in decimal, a 5 in the hundreds position is a lot different than a 5 in the tens position. And the same here. It's every number is face value times positional value. So the position of the number matters. Now, binary is real easy because I'm multiplying by 1. In decimal, I'm multiplying by whatever digit is there. But binary is just, so with binary, I can simply say, if there's a 1, that means 16. Because 1 times 2 to the 4th is 1 times 16. And 1 times 16 is just 16. So if there's 1 is there, then I'm using it. If a 0 is there, I'm not. Okay, so that makes it very easy in binary compared to other things that we will look at, like hexadecimal. Okay. So, the other thing we have to look at is binary math. If I have 1 plus 1, okay, 1 plus 1, there is no 2. So 1 plus 1 can't be a 2. 1 plus 1 is 1, 0. Because 1 plus 1 is 0, carry the 1, 1, 0. So 1 plus 1 is 1, 0. Just like in decimal, 9 plus 1 is 1, 0. Because 9 plus 1, you put down the 0 and they carry the 1. So essentially, when you run out of digits, you put down the 0 and carry the 1. And with binary, I run out of digits after 1. In decimal, I run out after 9. So 9 plus 1 is 1, 0. Okay. So 1 plus 1 is 1, 0. Plus 1 is what?
Because that still says 2, right? Technically?
That says 3.
But
the 1 0.
The 1 0 is 2. If it in 2 in decimal, this 1 0 in binary equals 2 in decimal. Okay. And the 1 0 in, because 2 to the 0 is 1, 2 to the 1st is 2. So this is 2 plus 0 is 2. Okay.
So when you're figuring out the weight, like you said, or the positional value in binary, when you're really adding it all up, you're converting it to decimal.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, I think so. I think that was what you asked. Okay, 1 plus 1 is equivalent to 3, because the 2 is turned on and the 1 is turned on, so that's 3. Now, if I add 1 to this, what's that going to be?
One, zero, zero?
Yes. Because 1 plus 1 is 1, 0. Put down the 0, carry the 1. 1 plus 1 is 1, 0. Okay? So that's going to be 1, 0, 0. Okay? And that is going to be a 4 in decimal. Okay? Because 1, 0, 0, 1, 2, 4, the 4 is turned on. The 2 and the 1 are not turned on, and so that's a 4. Okay? Plus 1 is what?
One zero one.
And that's 5 in decimal, because 1 0 1, the 4 and the 1 are turned on, so that means it's 5 in decimal, because the 4 and the 1 are turned on. Okay? 1 0 1 plus 1 is going to be what?
1 1 0.
1 plus 1 is 1 0. Put down the 0, carry the 1. 1 plus nothing is 1, bring down that 1 as well. So this is going to be a 6 in decimal. And I can see that it's a 6 because the 4 and the 2 are turned on. And 4 and 2 make 6. Then when I add 1 to this, what have I got?
1 1 1.
And that is going to be equivalent to what?
7.
Because the 4, 2, and 1 are all turned on, right? 4, 2, and 1 make 7. Okay. If I add 1 to this, what have I got?
1, 0, 0, 0.
Yes. Because 1 plus 1 is 1, 0. Put down the 0, carry the 1. 1 plus 1 is 1, 0. Put down the 0, carry the 1. 1 plus 1 is 1, 0. And in this one, I have the 8 turned on. So this is equal to 8 in decimal. So that's how you can go ahead and count in decimal, okay, in binary rather. So when I count in binary, decimal and binary. Decimal 0 is 0 in binary. 1 is 1. 2 is 1, 0. 3 is 1, 1. 4 is 1, 0, 0. 5 is 1, 0, 1. 6 is 110, 7 is 111, 8 is 1000, and you can just keep going forever, okay? But that's the counting in binary, okay? So binary goes through those steps, okay? questions. Yeah.
So is there any like easy way to like quickly tell what the decimals under is? Like if you were doing like 101101.
Yeah, we're gonna look at that. Is there an easy way? Nah, probably not.
You just kinda gotta write it down.
I'll tell you how to cheat though.
Okay.
There's a binary spot on the calculator. So if you go to the calculator that's online, it does binary conversion for you right there.
I mean, they are it.
So that's, if there is an easy way, it's yes, use your calculator. Okay? And if you're calculator dependent, then you're really going to be happy with that kind of a solution. I actually was sitting in an office one day when somebody pulled out their calculator to multiply by 100. Okay? And they actually pulled out their calculator to do that complicated math of multiplying by 100. Ah, yes. Okay. I had the answer before they did. So, if you go back to this handout that I mentioned, it goes through converting binary to decimal. And then it goes through converting decimal to binary. Okay? So the way of converting decimal to binary is, let's say I've got this decimal number and I want to convert it to binary. Well, my binaries are 1, 2, 4, 8, 16, 32, 64, 128. And these are 2 to the 0, 2 to the 1st, 2 to the 2nd, 2 to the 3rd, 2 to the 4th, going on up. Okay? So 91, the way I convert it is I say, okay, I can't turn on 128, that's too big. That's bigger than 91. But I can turn on 64. Okay? So I have 91. And if I subtract 64 from that, I have, what, 27. Okay? So I have 27 left. Can I turn on the 32? No. Can I turn on the 16? Yes. So I put a 1 there, and I subtract, whoops, I subtract 16. Not 6, but 16. And I have 11 left. So can I use the 8? Yes, so I put a 1 there. I subtract the 8 and I have 3 left. Can I use the 4? No. So I put a 0 there. Can I use the 2? Yes. So I put a 1 there. I subtract the 2. I have 1 left. So can I use the 1? Yes. And so I subtract the 1, and I have 0 left, and that means I've done the conversion. Okay? So if I want to take a decimal number and convert it to binary, that's the way I can do it. Or if I happen to have the calculator around that has binary in it, that's the other way I can do it. Okay, yeah.
So if computers register information in binary,
right,
what is the purpose of decimal? For us?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. The purpose of decimal is for you.
Like that set of numbers laid out.
Oh, you can. I mean, if you dump memory for some reason, and there's been times when I really wanted to know what it was storing in a particular place, and you dump memory, then you're going to see it in ones and zeros. Okay? And good luck. I mean, now, you can also get it in hexadecimal, which is what we'll look at Thursday, and I'll go into why you have hexadecimal on Thursday. But this is, well, actually, we may get to it today, depending on where we go. Okay, so this is binary. Okay? And so when I want to do a conversion, I can just go in and do it that way. So let's say, so let's let's say I have 125 in decimal, and I want to convert that to binary. Okay, do that and figure out what it should be. And just like in decimal, you don't need leading zeros. Leading zeros are not worth anything to you any more than they are in decimal. I mean, because you could go on infinity.
Yeah,
I've got 128 is the highest, but the next number is 256, 512, 1024. I mean, I can keep going forever. So leading zeros you don't usually show. There's only one that's a zero.
No, but once you, because the next is 64, so you would minus 64 from 125.
Right.
But that leaves you with 61.
Yeah.
And the only one that can go into that is 64, which we already used.
No, 61 can have 32 taken from it.
I always think of it the other way around, like that number needs to be higher than what I'm using, because it's opposite.
Yep. How much, what did you get?
I got 1111101.
Yep. The only one that's not turned on is the 2. Okay. So I'm subtracting 64. And that gives me 61, so I turned on 64. Subtract 32, and that gives me what?
29.
So I'm turning on the 32. Now I subtract 16, and that gives me 13, so I turned on the 16. Then I subtract 8, and that gives me 5. So the 8 is on. Then I subtract 4, and that gives me 1. So the 4 is on. The 2 I can't use. So that gets a 0. The 1 is on. I'm going to use the 1. So I've got 111101. Okay? And then just to prove it, I can pretend that I started out with this binary and I want to convert it to decimal. and so then I'm adding to do this one, 64, because that's turned on, 32, 16, 8, 4, and 1. So 6 and 12, 6, 12, 20, 25, 5 carry the 2, 8, 12. So that is 125. So I can go back and convert it back. Okay, so I go back and I can convert it back. So that's how you can convert from binary to decimal and decimal back to binary. Actually, I think I saved that, but if not. And there's the binary counting that we did on the board, and I went all the way up to 16 on this. Now, we're going to start looking at hexadecimal. I'm actually going to go back and do binary again on Thursday, but I kind of want to get into looking at the comparison. So, here is decimal, here is binary. Notice that 16 moves over to 5 digits. Okay? Everything up before 16, before 16 in decimal, can be represented in 4 binary bits. Okay? So that's key. These can be represented using 4 binary bits. Because these, I can put leading zeros in front of if I want to show that it's 4 binary bits. So I can just put leading zeros in and I can show everything in 4 binary bits. So basically what I do is when I dump out a computer memory, it's going to have its memory in binary. And I've read binary bits and it's not pretty. Okay, so what you would like to do is have something that represents it a little bit easier. Well, the code, which we're going to look at on Thursday, that is called ASCII, is made up of 8 binary bits. Okay, so when you push down the A on the computer, type keyboard, it is storing 8 binary bits for that A. And it's storing different ones for the capital A and different ones for the lowercase a, which is why when we put up the, do you want to do this again, enter wire in, and I said it happened to be a capital Y. Well, the reason is that a capital Y and a lowercase y have different binary configurations. So they are represented as different characters in memory. Okay? So ASCII is made up of 8 binary bits, and we're going to look at the ASCII code on Thursday. So if I split this, I've got 4 and 4. And 4 and 4 means I can have 1000, 1111, whatever. I can have the 8 bits can be broken up like that. Well, instead of showing 4 and 4, what we decide to do is show hex, to show the hexadecimal. And the hexadecimal for this would be 8F. And then we'll talk why. 1000 is an 8, and 1111 is an F. So we looked around, and the reason hex was chosen was that every 4 binary bits can be represented with 1 hexadecimal bit. Every 4 binary bits can be represented with one hexadecimal. So if I move down a little bit in this handout, somewhere I've got the list. There it is. Okay. So every four binary bits, here's the line between the four binary bits, can be represented in one hexadecimal character. So instead of getting a dump of memory in binary, I can ask it to dump memory in hex. And it's a lot easier to read when you've just got two things making up a character as opposed to eight ones and zeros. Okay? So every four binary bits can be represented with one hexadecimal. Hex is base 16. Okay? Hex is base 16. And base 16 means that it has 16 digits. Well, when it gets to 9, the next digit is A, B, C, D, E, and F. So those are digits in hexadecimal. So hexadecimal counts 0, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, A, B, C, D, E, F. And that is 15 digits. So remember, 16 digits, I'm sorry, that's 16 digits. So remember, decimal is base 10, it has 10 digits. Binary is base 2, it has 2 digits. Hexadecimal is base 16, it has 16 digits. And the 16 digits start with 0 and go down to the 16th. Okay, so 15th actually, 0 through 15. So if I have 9 and I add 1 to it in hex, 9 plus 1 is A. Okay? And then if I add 1 to A, I've got B. And if I add 1 to B, I've got C. And add 1 to C, I've got D. And D plus 1 is E. And E plus 1 is F. And F plus 1 is going to be what? 10, or 1, 0. F plus 1 is 1, 0. Okay, F plus 1 is 1, 0. Just like 9 plus 1 in decimal is 1, 0. Okay, so 9 plus 1 is 1, 0. Yeah.
So basically, binary decimal and hexadecimal, the base would be a shortcut for however many digits is the base.
Right.
Then after that, it just goes back to being binary, technically, because you're only using one digit.
Okay, no, now I'm lost. I'm not sure I should have said right. Start again.
After I get to F,
yes.
Then I'm only going to use ones and zeros after that, right?
No, until I get up to 1-9, and then it goes to 2-0.
Okay.
1-9, sorry. 1-9 goes to 1-A.
Oh, I see.
1-9 goes to 1-A, 1-B, 1-C, 1-D, 1-E, 1-F, 2-0. 2-1, 2-2, 2-3, 2-4, 2-5, 2-6, 2-7, 2-8, 2-9, 2-A, 2-B, 2-C, 2-D, 2-E, 2-F, 3-0. So it's just really treats it just like these are digits. You know, and if you'd been born into a culture that used hexadecimal instead of decimal, you'd think it was normal. All right. Not sure there is a culture like that except the computer culture, but anyway. So F plus 1 is 1, 0. So FF apparently it didn't like that. FF plus 1 is going to be what? What's F plus 1? F plus 1 is 1, 0, right? F plus 1 is 1, 0. F plus 1 is 1, 0. Put down the 0, carry the 1. F plus 1 is 1, 0. Okay. So just like in decimal, when you get to 99, the next digit, next thing is 100. In hexadecimal, when you get to FF, the next thing is 100. Okay. So it counts just like it does. Now, okay, again, there is a relationship between binary. So if I have a binary 1110, okay, and I turn on, so these are my positions. These are my values. These are my positions. Okay. So 8, 4, and 2 is what? 14. So this is 14 in decimal, right? It's 14 in decimal. And if I look at that chart over there, what is 14? In hex.
E.
I don't think it is E. It's B. A is 10, B is 11, 12 is C. You're right. I was reading it sideways. Equals E. And actually, I should know that. All right, so that's E in hex. Okay, so I can go across and convert one of those. If I start out with a C in hex, okay, then what do I do? A C in hex is what?
1100.
1100. Okay. 1100. Now that means the 1, the 2, and the 4, and the 8 are turned on. 8 and 4 equals 12. So it's a 12 in decimal. Okay? So if I am given the binary, I can say 1, 2, 4, 8. That would be a 12 in decimal. And look at the chart, and a 12 is a C. Okay, so I can go back and forth between these. So if I am given a 10 in decimal, okay, a 10 in decimal is equal to what? I turn it on, if I want to go to binary, I turn on the 8 and the 2, right? Because that makes 10. So that is the binary. And if I look at the chart, a 10 is an A. And basically, if you're working with this much, you learn A, B, C, D, E, and F. And you learn what they are. An 8 and a 2, this is an 8 and a 2, is a 10. An 8, a 2, and a 1 is an 11. An 8 and a 4 is 12, and 8, 4, and 1 is 13, and 8, 4, and 2 is 14, and an 8, 4, 2, and 1 is 15. And you learn that 15 is an F, and then you can count backwards and forwards, but a 15 is an F, okay, and a 14 is an E, and a 13 is a D, and you kind of memorize those after working with it for a while. Okay. So that's how you can convert back and forth between binary and hex. So if you're given a string of binary numbers, and let's say I gave you 10101110001, whatever, okay? I can convert those to decimals by writing the 1, 2, 4, 8, 16 underneath them. If I want to convert them to hex, since 4 binary bits represents 1 hex, I go in and I divide these up into 4. So I've got 4, 4, 4. And if there was more out in the front, I didn't realize I'd counted to an equal amount. If there was another digit or 2 out at the front, you add a couple of zeros in front of it to make it 4. Okay? So now I've got 10101110, and I look at this and say, this is the 8 and the 2 turned on, which is 10. And I know that 10 in decimal is an A in hex. This is 1111, so it's the 8, 4, and 2 turned on. So that's 14 in decimal, and I know that 14 in decimal is an E in hex. Okay, so 14 in decimal is an E in hex. Then this one is a 4 and a 1 turned on. That is a 5 in decimal, which is also a 5 in hex. So if I have these numbers, I can just, if I want to convert it to hex or convert it to decimal, I can just divide it up into groups of 4, then figure out what the decimal is, and then from that figure out what the hex is. So, taking this the other direction, if I gave you C9B in hex, what is that going to be in binary? Wasn't I helpful? I actually left some stuff up there for him. When you're doing the conversion, you always have to do 4 characters for each thing. So even if I put a 2 up there, you would be writing 0010, not just 10. Or if I put a 1 up there, you'd be writing 0001, not just 1, because I've got to convert all 4. Yeah.
If you didn't have the chart, what would be the best way of going from hex to binary?
Well, I basically know that a C, okay, I know that 9 is 9, and I do a lot on my fingers. And A is a 10, 11 is a 12, B is, and so forth. So I do a lot of that, where C is 13, and then I know, wait a minute, A is 10, B is 11, C is 12, sorry. So C is 12, and I know 12 is an 8 and a 4. And so it's 1010. 1100. So C, okay, is 1100. Okay, but I also know that A is the 10th. So B, C is the 12th. I can always start with A is the 10th, or start with F and count backwards, but A is the 10th. So C is the 12th. Okay, so 12 means that 8 and 4 are turned on. And 8 and 4 are turned on, and the others are turned off. So I'm going to have 1, 1, 0, 0, and then 9 turns on the 8 and the 1. So 1, 0, 0, 1, that's a 9. So I'll write 1, 0, 0, 1. And then a B is, A is the 10th, so a B is the 11th. Okay, the 11th character. So 11 is, I've got to turn on what?
The 8, the 2, and the 1.
The 8, the 2, and the 1. So I've got 8, 0, 1, 1, which is right up there. So I've got, 1, 0, 1, 1. I'm listening to myself. I turned on the 8, 2, and 1. So I've got 1, 0, 1, 1. So basically, if you remember that A is a 10, you can use your fingers to find out that what the next one is, and then you can figure out the code. So B is the 11th one. So B, that means, is going to have the 8, the 2, and the 1 turned on. Arrow down. So B has the 1, 0, 1, 1 turned on. Okay, because it's the 11th. So I turn on 11, which is 8, 2, and 1 makes 11. Yes, no, maybe? So here I'm converting the hexadecimal number to binary, and I said, okay, 5 is a turn on 4 and 1. E is the 14th, so 14 is turn on 8, 2, and 4. The 4th, turn on just the 4. 9, turn on the 8 and the 1. Okay. So the key thing is to remember that this is the 14th. And the 14th, then I can turn on 8 or 2 to make the 14th. Yes, no, maybe? Is this making any sense?
Somehow, yes.
Okay. Alrighty, we are 2 minutes out of time, so that basically is out of time. If you look at this handout, and I'll put it out, the numbering system information is all right. When I did this, there were other codes that were more heavily used than ASCII, like IBCDIC. I must have written this umpteen years ago. And so just kind of ignore the part about the codes. Okay, numbering systems are numbering systems. They will be the same forever. But the codes change, and we used to use something called IBCDIC, and now we're more heavily, IBCDIC is gone and ASCII is used. Okay, so the parts of this handout that get into IBCDIC, just ignore them if you look through the handout. We will look at ASCII tomorrow, Thursday.